Welcome to Open Spaces from Wyoming Public Radio News. This week, we reach beyond our studios and bring you interviews from Wyoming PBS's Wyoming Chronicle. Robin Sessions Cooley has had a long career in state government. She was most recently the director of the Department of Workforce Services. Now, she's trying her hand at being a Wyoming District Court judge.
So I think that background in the law has really helped me dig into what our obligations are and work within those statutory frameworks to really push things down the road a little bit further.
And we hear from Miss Wyoming USA. Beck Bridger is also a sergeant in the U.S. Army.
After going through the military and then competing at Miss Wyoming USA, my mind shifted from being, you know, wow, I've worked out, to now being a strong woman in the military and being physically fit.
Join us for those stories on Open Spaces from Wyoming Public Radio News.
If you went looking for the person with the most varied, diverse, and accomplished career in Wyoming state government this century, you probably wouldn't need to look much further than the resume of Robin Sessions Cooley. From private practice attorney to director of the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services, and having been recruited for a half dozen high-level jobs in between, Cooley is pulling up her employment stakes again, this time to become a Wyoming District Court judge. After 5 years leading Workforce Services, her last day there was March 15th.
I'm always interested to talk to people who make these big life changes. You're in a position, I presume, where you could have stayed in this job until retirement, for example, if you'd wanted to. That's what a lot of people do. Nothing wrong with doing that, but not for you.
Yeah.
How come?
I had someone plant a seed in my brain many years ago about being a judge, because that's my background, really, is more active legal work with the Attorney General's office and other agencies. So the seed got planted, and I haven't been able to let that go. Mm. I did apply for other judicial positions.
You did.
I've applied several times, and I have, you know, been picked in the top three, and it's just never happened for me. It's not been the right time, or for whatever reason. But this one came up, and I talked with some people that I think very highly of, and thought about it for quite a while, and just decided this was maybe another opportunity for me, another chance to fulfill a goal and a dream that I've had for quite a while.
And coming as it has, after a long career, a productive career in this job as well, how long have you been with this department?
5 years.
5 years. Mm-hmm. You're an attorney, obviously. I mean, I think I'm right in saying you need to be an attorney in order to become a district court judge.
Correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So you were an attorney before becoming what I'll call a bureaucrat, and I mean that mm-hmm. in the positive way. This is a big agency, and we're going to talk about the many, many, many functions that it has. Yeah. What was your legal career like before taking this job?
I was in private practice with an amazing firm in downtown Cheyenne for 5 years right out of law school.
It's always been my opinion that having legal training can be helpful in just about any job you get, even if you don't practice law anymore. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. I did not go to law school to be an attorney.
Really?
I had been working in business as a manager and loved it, but I knew that I wanted more. I wanted to expand. So I did a little bit of research into law school versus a master's program, an MBA program. What I found at the time was the legal avenue gave me a little bit more opportunity to either go into the business world or maybe the legal world was something a road to go down.
And that wouldn't necessarily have been true had you gone the MBA.
Exactly, route. Exactly. So there was more options that way. So I went to law school and came out, and I never even thought about going the business route right off the bat because I liked the law so much.
That decision to pursue a legal career was the first link in a professional chain of events that saw Cooley excel in one job after another, always being sought out for the next position after distinguishing herself in the previous one. As she recounts her work history, listen for this recurring theme.
loved the work, but wanted to expand and learn about other areas of the law. So I then went to work in the Wyoming Attorney General's office in their criminal division. I love criminal law. I find it fascinating. And I was appearing in front of the Wyoming Supreme Court routinely. I was doing post-conviction work, appearing in federal district court as well. And it was really, I really enjoyed that work. But at that time, I was then asked to head the newly formed division within the AG's office, the Human Services Division, as the deputy there. And that brings together departments, agencies like Department of Family Services. YDOT was in that. It was the Department of Health, Community College Commission. There was just a number of entities that we were representing in that division. And I love that work. I had no plans to leave that because it was so diverse and interesting, never a dull moment, and never the same thing over and over again. But then I had the seed planted at that time about a judicial position. So I started walking down that road, applying for a few positions, and didn't get very far at that time. But I was then, Governor Meade gave me the opportunity to work in his cabinet as a special attorney there, helping him with special projects more than anything. And from there, he appointed me to the Board of Equalization. Mm. Now, that's tax court. That's completely different.
I know someone who was on that job, and he said he felt it was accurate to refer to him as judge, in fact.
And that's, you hear and decide tax decisions, yeah. Whether they come from the Department of Revenue or they are appeals that come up from the County Board of Equalization decisions. I love that work, and I would never have guessed that, but it was amazing to learn about Wyoming's tax structure and how that works. And from there, Governor Meade asked me to consider the Public Service Commission. Again, another area I had no background in. It was utility regulation,
right.
Very complex, but incredibly important to the state of Wyoming and very interesting to learn and a challenge. So I did that for several years and again, really loved the job. And then we changed administrations and I thought, well, maybe here's another opportunity for me. So I did get with Governor Gordon, let him know I was interested in maybe a little bit of a change for me again in heading a state agency. He took a chance on me and put me in this position here with the Department of Workforce Services, and I have loved it.
Yeah, you've described numerous positions you've had. I've yet to hear you say, well, that wasn't so great. Yeah. You've enjoyed every step you've taken, it sounds like.
I have not regretted a single thing I've done in my career because it's either provided me with growth and additional abilities, or it's helped me recognize that I can learn just about anything I want to learn. Yeah. And that's a pretty good feeling to have.
Well, we can see this gradual progression where your work as an attorney introduced you to state government bit by bit by bit by bit. And then by the time this opportunity came along, you knew a lot about state government from sort of the inside out and must proved helpful to you every day in this job, I presume. And
incredibly helpful.
Yeah, yeah. I think people who imagine being an attorney who don't know anything about it, they've watched L.A. Law and cop show or cops and court shows, and they think that that's what you're doing all the time. And you probably had some courtroom experience, I'm sure, if you're involved in criminal law. But how does legal training itself prepare you mentally in the mind to do a big administrative job?
As state agencies, we have very clear parameters in our implementing statutes around what we can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And I think it prepares you to really dig into what those legal parameters are about the work and what you can do, and then work within those parameters. I will give you a for instance. We have the Workforce Development Training Fund grant program, and that's in statute, but the statute is written so uniquely with as you relate to other Wyoming statutes in that It gives such broad authority to develop training programs for Wyoming workforce. And essentially, whatever you see is necessary, you can take the ball and run with it to develop these programs. And it's really been, it's been an eye-opener for me, and it has really allowed me to be creative with the team and innovative and flexible depending on the needs of Wyoming and Wyoming's workforce. So I think that background in the law has really helped me dig into what our obligations are and work within those statutory frameworks to really push things down the road a little bit further to expand on what we have been doing in the past.
Wyoming Department of Workforce Services used to be called the Wyoming Department of Employment for years before that. So here's an easy question. What does this agency do?
Oh, I could go on for a long time.
What's the short?
Can
it be boiled down to a 30-second answer, do you think? Or is it just, there's a point to the question. It's a big agency doing lots of things. How do you describe it to someone who you meet?
If I would boil it down, I would say it encapsulates assistance to any avenue, anything that is even remotely relevant to workforce in Wyoming, existing workforce in Wyoming, and further developing that workforce for Wyoming industries. I think that captures it all, and that's whether it's unemployment for the worker, whether it's workers' compensation, it's labor standards. If you've got a workforce issue that you're experiencing, it's OSHA, it's safety across the state, it's mining safety, it's just helping workers upskill and get into the careers they want to get into. So it's anything and everything workforce.
Here's a list, and it might not even be the complete one, of the divisions of this department. Business training and support, communications, and that's not just someone sending out a press release, although that happens too, but reporting on the volume of data and what it means and how it's changing. Disability determination, employment tax, labor standards, OSHA, research and planning, state mine inspector's office, unemployment insurance, workers' comp, vocational rehabilitation, workforce center and program operations. There's a workforce center in virtually every county in this state. And that's where a lot of people at the local level encounter this department. I need a job. I want to talk to someone. I've been injured on the job. I want to put an application in. I want to have my resume on file. Have you heard of anything? And then clear on up to, for example, OSHA, and maybe above that, so to speak, on the administrative ladder, dealing with federal authorities too,
exactly.
from the
Always.
Highest levels down to the individual level in a community. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure that as expert as you are in all of it, obviously, good staff and good staff below good staff and training and staying on top of it all the time. That's what keeps the train running, so to speak.
There is no question that I am working in this agency with a group of individuals that are passionate about their jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been in their jobs for quite a while, but that passion comes through every time you talk to them. I'm not the expert, and I'm the first person to say that, but I know where to go to
exactly.
get the expert and to get the answers that people might need.
During the coronavirus pandemic, which began in 2020 and officially was declared to be over in 2023, Wyoming faced big impacts, and the Department of Workforce Services was required to deal with most of them. As Robin Cooley notes, that work still isn't finished.
Working through COVID and how to manage that and maneuver that for our communities and our workforce, every single one of these agencies stepped up to the plate in ways that it was amazing to watch. I think they did things that they didn't even think they could do. So it was eye-opening for them. It was a real opportunity for them. And whether it was OSHA and protecting workers around COVID, it was unemployment and just providing that next dollar so you can pay for your meal on the table that night, whatever it might be, with workers' compensation. Helping along, with the presumption for COVID individuals that were on the job, or our workforce centers that stayed open, the only ones that stayed open in the country, the entire country.
Is that so?
so that we can help people coming into the workforce centers. We were actively working. We kept them safe. We had routine cleaning shutdowns where we would make sure we fogged and cleaned, but we stayed open so people that didn't know how to apply for unemployment or didn't know how to get that next job had a place to come to ask these questions and to get that help.
I was a small business owner during that time, and I know just the impact of that. Mm-hmm. And there were countless times there was a question, and most of the time the question ended up being directed to workforce services. Mm-hmm. I mean, workforce development in Wyoming is this huge issue that has to do with this endless talk about diversifying the economy, which is, we're in the middle of the legislative session. Now you had the legislative stream on, listening to debate on bills this morning when we came in. You're following this all the time. It's very, very important if we're going to diversify the economy to have a workforce ready to do it. How's that effort going, would you say?
It is nonstop, and I tell you, we thought after COVID we'd have a little bit of a down time, and instead, and to the credit of other agencies, to the credit of the governor and the legislature, policymakers, we didn't stop when we started coming out of COVID. We ramped up immediately into, okay, what do we do now? Because we know we need this workforce. We know we need to upskill. We know we need more workers. Where do we go now? Yeah. And it has been a constant stream of grant applications in order to recognize that diversity, bring the diversity in, of business and industry in, and I would say that's happening. We have incredible individuals in this state that have fantastic ideas. Mm-hmm. And so helping those entrepreneurs build their business is part of it, whether that's through apprenticeships, it's internships, it's upskilling their existing employees with additional training dollars to send them for those additional skills. It's helping our existing workforce, because we know we've got a very skilled workforce with incredible ethical background that and work ethic. Mm-hmm. So they want to do the job.
Supporting Wyoming's workforce is a critical part of an important economic battle. Cooley warns the state that the other half of that battle is recognizing what's coming and being ready for it.
We've got businesses coming into the state that the numbers of workers that we're going to need is a little shocking. And so we're working on efforts to reach outside our boundaries to show people what it is that Wyoming has to offer them. Here we've got these new industries, but guess what? It's not just the good job you can get. It's all of these other benefits and opportunities that you have in Wyoming, whether it's outdoor recreation or the recreation during the wintertime. It's our beautiful skies. It's our beautiful historical areas. Whatever it is, we've got so much to offer. And so that's another program that we're working on, is to bring those workers in. A chicken and an egg. Yeah. And we all talk about that. But I think we're all working together with economic development entities, the business council, the WIP initiative, education entities. It's all coming together, and everybody, we're all in this together, so everybody's working on it.
Well, here in Red State, Wyoming, this is always an interesting issue to me. Yeah. This is government's job. This is at least how you see it. And you hear a lot of talk about, well, it's just not our job to do that. Stay out of government, stay out of our lives, leave my business alone, except when I need 25 workers starting in 8 months' time. Yeah. Then the phone rings. Can you help me? So that's an interesting sort of partnership that people take advantage of when they need to. Or, and I wonder if they do. I was speaking with legislative representative Trey Sherwood, who you may know in Laramie, who did this great downtown economic development work there. And she said in an interview just like this one, the big challenge she finds is that people don't know that we're here to help. And I said, what do you want from your customers, clients, the people you're trying to help? And is it everybody paint the mailbox the same color? And well, yeah. She said, no. It's to tell me what you need and let me try to help you. Do enough people in Wyoming, business people, workers, understand what you're here to do, what you're offering?
From my day one when I walked into this office, Everybody's heard me say this, I think. My biggest issue and my biggest goal has been when I walk out of this, when I walk out the door, mm-hmm. I want people to think of Workforce Services as not the unemployment office. Yeah. That is a portion of what we do, but it is I don't want to say a small portion, but it's not what we do in terms of getting people reemployed or helping them just get that first job. We do so much else to assist and so have so many more services. I sent an email to somebody yesterday who wanted kind of a rundown, and I found myself just kept going and going and going. The services are out there. The opportunities are out there. Please, we've got 18 workforce centers around the state. Please go take part. Go just see what they have to offer.
Give us a chance
Give
to help
us
you.
A chance because there are abilities to help you walk down any career road you want to walk down, and we can help you at all different stages of doing that, along with our partners in the colleges and the business council and everywhere else. We are here to show you what those services are and to help you walk down that road, and we'll help you every way we can.
Well, you've talked about career paths, any sort of career path. You're about to start a new one. Will your job here help you as a judge, do you think?
No question about it.
Yeah.
I think every judge walks into their courtroom with a set of experiences that help define the way that they're going to make decisions, define the way that they're going to deal with the issues that are in front of them, whether criminal, civil, or, what have you. We're all made up of our experiences. So I think it will absolutely help me because I have continued through this job to dig into statutes, interpret statutes, look at them, look at the case law. What does that say? That part of my work as an attorney has never stopped. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to your earlier question, how has that helped you in this position? It has been critical to me in this position because, we get to look at things from that perspective of policymakers when they're making the law and what it is that they intended.
As she moves from the bureaucracy to the bench, Cooley recognizes that two other factors will be imperative to working effectively as a judge, both of them hammered home during her time at Workforce Services: humanity and fairness.
Whatever comes in front of you, people make mistakes. People in the agency make mistakes. It's people in front of you in the courtroom may have made some mistakes. But you recognize that, and you recognize we all are human beings, and you just look at it with this fairness that all litigants in front of you deserve. And that's how I've looked at issues here when mistakes have been made. It's how I did it in the PSC or the Board of Equalization. It's just people come to you as human beings. And I think that they deserve the respect and your attention that any other situation would require as well. So,
speaking of another earlier interview we did, a nice conversation we had with Chief Justice Kate Fox, and she has a real sensitive, sympathetic spot in her heart for the job you're about to take on, the district court judge, because very, very busy, and also because of just the diversity of the type of cases that come before the district courts. And then to me, it sounds sort of similar to what you're talking about here. You just see it all, and you're going to see it all there, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. In a lot of ways, I think that's why I was particularly suited for this for this role, because I've what I've always loved about the law is that diversity. Yeah. If you feel like you've gotten to be a very specialist in this area, branch out to another area, because you always need to keep that growth mindset. Chief Justice Fox is absolutely right. There's a little bit of everything that you see in this court. I think that's what that's what intrigues me, and that's what excites me. At the same time, it's also what is going to be a difficult part of the job.
you're going to be someone who's worked in either within or very closely with all three branches of government, from the judicial, obviously you're about to get into the executive, that's the position you have now. And there are bills that you have your eye on all the time. I've seen you testifying before legislative committees all the time. Your mother was a lawmaker. You know a lot about that too. Seems like you're pretty well suited for this job you're about to enter.
Very much looking forward to it. I'm very fortunate in my career path because it just, things just kind of happened and I went down different roads and it's taking me in a good place. I'm hoping to hit the ground running and recognizing that I've got a lot to learn as well.
Robin Cooley, thanks for your time. I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
My appreciation to you for being with us today on Wyoming Chronicle.
Once upon a time, the idea of being both a military service member and a beauty pageant queen might have sounded far-fetched, but today's Wyoming Chronicle guest has exploded that old-school misconception. A beauty queen who's an Army sergeant? It really can be done. And Beck Bridger proves it every day.
We're very pleased today to have Sergeant Rebecca Bridger with us, who has a sort of a second identity as Beck Bridger. You're a U.S. Army National Guard sergeant. You also happen to be Miss Wyoming USA. We're here at the Wyoming State Capitol. You've been spending some time here the past couple of days, haven't you?
Yes, I have. It's been such an honor. You know, I never thought that I would be here as Miss Wyoming USA and also as a sergeant in the representing the Wyoming Army National Guard. So it's an honor to come here and sing the national anthem.
Sing the national anthem. I think we have some footage of that.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
You did it twice yesterday, right?
I did. Yeah. Two times in one day, and it's such a blessing to do it for the House and the Senate.
I know from setting up our interview schedule with you, you're a busy person, and one of the things, you sing lots of national anthems, not just in Wyoming, correct?
Yes, so actually I have a goal this year of hitting 50 national anthems. It sounds a little crazy, but right now I'm also on my sixth national anthem of 2024. So it's been really fun to honor the state and the country singing and representing the stripes.
Recently you were in Nashville?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Yeah, so it's actually really crazy. I feel like the opportunities that I've had within the military have also opened doors for other opportunities for me to sing outside of the state. So I have a good friend who owns a hunting brand called Azire, and I had the opportunity of flying with the Azire team to sing the national anthem at the SCI Hunting Expo.
You are distinctive among the pageantry. Is that the term we'd use for it? You participate in pageantry?
Yeah.
The term Miss Wyoming sounds straightforward enough, but there's a bit more to it than meets the eye and the ear. And over the past 5 years, Beck Bridger has taken full advantage.
You have the title of Miss Wyoming USA. There's also another Miss Wyoming title, which is Miss Wyoming America. And I think I'm right in saying if you're a Miss Wyoming America, then you compete in the Miss America pageant. Miss Wyoming USA, you compete in the Miss USA pageant. And you would know because you've held both those titles, correct?
Yes, I have held both titles, and it's been an incredible honor to serve the state as both representatives. I had the opportunity of competing at Miss America 2019, and then recently just competed at Miss USA in October.
So very few people are ever going to have an opportunity to appear in either one of those. What's the difference between the two of them, or is there much of one?
You know, there is a huge difference, and after competing at Miss America and then kind of comparing that experience to Miss USA, one thing that is the same is the camaraderie, the spirit between each competitor and also the sisterhood that you find. But the ultimate differences that I've experienced is that I feel that Miss America is a little bit more scholastic, while Miss USA, very scholastic, but also really champions the entertainment industry. So as someone who is a musician and loves being on stage, we had so many fabulous sponsors who were willing to work with us to kind of up our game. And so as someone who likes to be on stage, we had a great opportunity. I got some veneers, so that's exciting. I got some hair sponsorship, makeup tutorials from TV and film crews. So both experiences were invaluable, but overall, I have really loved my Miss USA experience.
It's fun, I presume. It sounds like it.
You know, if you love sparkles and dressing up and all of those sort of things, you will love Miss USA. And you also will love it, too, if you compete for Miss America. I loved both pageant experiences, and they're both fabulous. I met so many incredible women who are really working hard to change and impact the world. And it's really how you turn your experience and make it for the best.
People might have some stereotypical image of what the pageants are. But for a long time now, decades really, they've been about a lot more than marching around on stage with judges looking you over.
I mean, yeah.
That's a smaller part of it now.
Yes. You know, it's fascinating because the first time I competed at Miss Wyoming is I won, and I did have to compete in swimsuit. And I remember thinking, this is something that's so scary. I don't know if I can do it. But what was so incredible was the transformation. I had worked every single day incredibly hard. I showed up at the gym every single day. I got super healthy, and I felt really empowered when I was on stage competing in my swimsuit. And this, what's so fascinating, though, is 3 years later, after going through the military and then competing at Miss Wyoming USA, my mind shifted from being, you know, wow, I've worked out, to now being a strong woman in the military and being physically fit was a little bit more of the platform that I was adopting as I competed for Miss Wyoming USA.
It's been at least since the 70s, I know, that element of pageantry has been somewhat controversial. I think
Absolutely.
Miss America has moved a little bit farther away from it, maybe, than Miss USA has.
Yes.
But just generally speaking, what you're saying is it's part of it, and you found positives in it.
Absolutely. I think everything in life, you have to really adapt your perspective and show up for the right intention. And I believe that if you have a goal and you set your mind to it, you can accomplish it. And especially with the Miss Wyoming USA competition, it's really hard and cutthroat. And same with Miss USA. All those girls worked incredibly hard. We had physical trainers sponsored to us. And so what was so empowering about that was I felt like I had a really great crew who was empowering me along each step of the way. And one thing that I'm really proud about myself for is staying true to who I was on the Miss USA stage. I went out there to represent the state of Wyoming and also being a soldier.
You said it's not all that uncommon for military personnel to compete in pageants. You weren't the only one.
No, I'm not the only one, actually. I have followed in the footsteps of many other women who have paved the way for women in the military and pageantry. There's many title holders who have already been title holders who were in the military. There's a Miss USA, Deshauna Barber, who was the first active duty Miss USA. And then now our current brand new Miss America, who was just crowned, is in the Air Force. So it's really fun to be changing the narrative and advocating for women in pageantry and in the military.
You're a singer. Is there still a talent segment element in these pageants?
You know, so it's crazy because Miss USA actually doesn't have a talent portion of competition. And that's a huge reason why I was nervous to compete, because I kind of lean on talent as a singer. And when I, you know, knew that I wouldn't have that to lean on, I kind of wondered, how am I going to make this work? So I had to work hard in every other area: interview, evening gown, swimsuit, my platform. I had to really spend some time carving out the why and the intention behind each, so that when I showed up on stage, they could really feel the heart behind my why. And then in the interview, they knew that I was a singer because I made sure they knew.
Now, in the Miss Wyoming pageant, did you sing?
I did sing.
So it does still have that.
Yes,
to it.
And Miss America, talent is a huge part of the competition.
I see. So there's a difference.
There is a huge difference, yes. And I really wish that there was a talent in Miss USA, but you know, it was great to compete in with different circumstances.
What got you interested in military service? It's part of a general kind of service obligation that you're feeling?
Yeah, so since I was little, I've always been inspired by my dad, who has a heart for public service. He's currently the mayor of the city of Sheridan, Wyoming right now.
What's his name?
Rich Bridger. Uh-huh. He's great. He's my hero, along with my mom, who also served as a psychiatric VA nurse. And so at a young age, I was always driven to serve, and I always was around those different events. So it was a great opportunity for me to learn. And I lived in LA for 1 year. I decided to move home to Wyoming because every single girl or guy has to leave Sheridan and feel like they have to get out of Wyoming. But then I really felt that call to come home and to serve. And so I competed for Miss Wyoming. And that's really when I decided to kind of put myself out there. And it was after I passed my title of Miss Wyoming that I said, I want to keep serving the state of Wyoming, but how will I do that? And how will I align my passion for singing, music, and serving? And so it was funny because I was typing in all these things and I was like, how am I going to do this? I don't know. And then all of a sudden it said, audition for the 67th Army Band Wyoming Zone. And so I auditioned for the band. I failed my first time, and then after a second attempt, I passed, and my next ticket to the U.S. Army School of Music was in my hands.
So here you are, an accomplished singer, but you didn't make it your first time out. If people haven't seen a military band perform, they might not have any idea how great they are. These are people that are in service. Armed services want talented musicians because what they do is important and they have to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, a lot of the fellow soldiers that I went to the School of Music with actually have degrees, masters, doctorates. They're already well-accomplished musicians. Mm-hmm. And so it makes the School of Music that much more competitive. There was only two vocalists while I was attending, so we got to split everything between all the performances. But it was an incredible opportunity to learn from really talented musicians around the country, mm-hmm. and then to bring that knowledge home and that those pieces that I learned from all the instructors was invaluable.
Where does this training happen?
Yeah, so the U.S. Army School of Music is located in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So I flew after basic combat training. I flew to Virginia Beach, Virginia. I had my rucksack and all my gear, and then we were in the School of Music for the remainder of my training.
So it's easier duty than a combat unit has, but you still went through basic training, right? It's like everybody else.
Yeah, so one of the things I tell everybody that I talk to is that I'm proudly a soldier first, serving the country. And so what's so special is that we have the opportunity to learn all the things. We go through basic training, we learn land nav, we qualify on our weapons. We do all of those things, and we are for soldiers first, which means that, you know, our mission really is to bridge the gap from soldier to civilian. And so if duty calls, then we will also be the, you know, the ones to answer that as well.
Well, that's a good way to put it, bridging that gap. What does the band that you're in do, say, in the course of a calendar year, typically, in terms of performance and exposure?
It's a huge year of performing, especially for me as the vocalist. I'm the first vocalist, and that for me, I think that means the first trained one who's graduated the school with that certificate in hand. And so right off the bat, we have the governor's reception that our whole band comes and performs at. We do the Wyoming, I think we did the Border War football game. Yes, and then we also go on tour promoting the band for different schools so that any high school potential musicians can start to think about auditioning if they're ready for that.
We happen to be speaking to you in the middle of February. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day on the calendar we're on, but you're about to start a tour.
Yeah, so what I've learned from last year, we went to Sheridan, we were in Cheyenne, we're at Laramie, and then this year will be Riverton, Evanston. So it sounds like we'll rotate from different areas of Wyoming so that we can create some more exposure for students across the Wyoming.
Do you tend to do a concert after an evening sort of show, or do you go into schools as well and work with students? What's that experience like?
It's a bit of both. We have some soldiers who are also teachers, and so we have really great connections with the teachers at these high schools. So we're able to go in, do some one-on-one time, and then we might have one full performance in the evening. But it was really special because my first year last year, we sang and performed at my hometown, Sheridan, and our whole community came out for it, which was such a blessing.
What kind of music does the band do, or does it limit itself in any way?
Right. So our band, I believe, is made up of almost 30 soldiers right now. We have a ceremonial band, and then we have different musical performance teams within that big overarching band. And so I'm a part of the rock band, and so we basically go out and perform different genres of music. There's also a jazz band, there's like a quintet, all different kind of bands. And so really these shows, though, they're meant to bring people in. So we'll have anything from musical theater, we'll have, right now we're doing a lot of Star Wars, so yeah.
The admission price to the military band performances is zero. I've seen several state level, national, regional, national level bands. Boy, they're just so good. It must be fun.
Yeah, so at the U.S. Army School of Music, they teach us so much about performance techniques, and we have the opportunity of bringing that back to our unit, and working with all these incredible musicians has really given me so much to take home and then also to share with other young musicians too.
Performance techniques. So what's an example of something, say, that you didn't do or didn't know very much about that you learned in the specific training that you had?
Yeah, so I learned so much. I had an incredible instructor, a vocal instructor at the School of Music, who was just so spunky and fun. Her name is Sergeant Wyndham. She's amazing. But she always told me in my music, first note, first step. And I had no idea what that meant, but anytime you're about to sing a chorus, there's a powerful moment where you can actually step on stage, and it makes it that much more powerful when you're performing instead of just standing in one place the whole time you're singing. So she really loved the idea of getting around the stage, and I really feel that that's something that has impacted my performance strategy, because I used to be a little bit nervous and moving around, but now I just want to move around and I don't want to stand still. I know when the right times to move around are, and I have a really good idea about when the song starts to where it ends, where I need to be, if I shouldn't repeat any movements that I've done, just to make it different throughout each song.
That's interesting. I mean, other military personnel get specific training in different sorts of fields.
Yeah.
And that's one way to look at this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really fun. At the School of Music, Sergeant Wyndham had me jump off a chair, and I remember being like, I don't want to jump off a chair. And she's like, you got to do it, girl. It's going to be amazing. And so when the chorus hit, I ended up jumping off the chair with my mic, and then I was just rocking out, and all my friends, because we performed for each other at the very end of our training, all my friends were like, wow, that was so good. So I really did push the limits for my own performance, and now I do feel like I am kind of not the best yet, because I think that there's always room for improvement.
Sure.
But I really feel that I'm a stronger performer now than I ever have been.
So the National Guard's a little different from active duty, but how long would you expect to remain in service?
I really love serving, so I want to be a for lifer.
Really?
Yes, I do. And I'm really grateful to all the men and women who have served our country and have gone before me. I have so many mentors in the military who have sacrificed their lives to serving, and it's something that I don't take lightly. And so I really want to pursue this for the rest of my life.
Let's just say it's unlikely, of course, but you're a sergeant in the Army. You could be called into different kind of duty. It's not out of the question, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And I think that anybody who takes that oath understands that.
A military unit draws all kinds of different sorts of people in it. How did your military friends and acquaintances and colleagues feel about being Miss Wyoming when they found out? And how did they find out? Is that something you made clear to them right off the bat?
You know, it's so funny, because when I went to basic combat training, everybody said, don't tell the drill sergeants anything. Don't tell them you're Miss Wyoming. And so I thought, okay, I'm not going to say anything. So for the longest time, I didn't say anything. I had the opportunity of competing for the position of distinguished leader. What was so funny was that I really wanted to win, and there's this piece where you have to tell 30 seconds about yourself. And the minute that I said, and I'm a former Miss Wyoming, one of the drill sergeants goes, no way, and he Googles my photo, and we're not even allowed to see phones at this point in basic training, Googles my face. He's like, this is you, trainee? I was like, yes, drill sergeant, that's me.
He goes, and you'd been there how long by then?
This is the very end.
So weeks and weeks, and
yeah,
it never came out.
No, because I was told not to say anything. And so when everyone found out, they were like, we can't believe we have a pageant queen at basic.
Sometimes Beck Bridger's two worlds do bump against each other. In 2023, she appeared on a nationally televised game show, right in the middle of her Army training. Was it worth the effort? Very.
This is a crazy story. When I was at basic leader course, I had the opportunity to audition for a Fox TV show. And so I went up to my sergeant. I said, Sergeant, I have this crazy opportunity. He goes, what, Sergeant? I say, I'm being auditioned for a Fox TV show. Can I audition in my barracks room? And he goes, I can't believe this. What do you do? Who are you? And so I go, I really need to audition. I want to really make it on the show. And so long story short, I ended up getting cast in this Don't Forget the Lyrics Fox TV show. And the coolest part was that when I entered on stage, they flashed a photo of me in my dress uniform and a photo of me as Miss Wyoming. So that was really the catalyst of this storytelling. And then it was 1 month after that I competed for Miss Wyoming USA.
All right, tell us how it went on Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Yeah, so Don't Forget the Lyrics is a really fun game show. You have the opportunity to compete to win $1 million. You basically get out on stage and you get the option of choosing karaoke songs based on the genre. Mm-hmm. So the first genre I chose, I believe, was rock. And the song flashes on the screen, you know, you're singing it, and then all of a sudden the words stop. And it's your job to fill the words in. Mm-hmm. So, and then you basically climb up this money ladder. So I made it to $75,000, and then I forgot one lyric to song, so it dropped to $25,000. So I did get to take home $25K.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. And then the biggest piece that I had prayed for was just that my story could be used to be a light for people all around the nation who tuned in. So you can actually tune into that episode now. It's on Hulu. It's called The Battle Ready Beauty Queen.
You said you wanted them on the national TV audience to hear your story, and I know that an element of the pageant competition as well, that since talent is no longer part of it, the platform, I believe, was the term you used. Mm-hmm. What is that element and how is it used in the competition?
Yeah, so each woman has the opportunity to create a platform for themselves that they advocate for, whether this is something that they've already been working towards, whether it's starting a nonprofit or really advocating for different organizations that they're passionate about. I really wanted to start advocating for women in the military, mm-hmm. so I created the Warrior Women Project. It's a platform that provides tips, tricks, and resources to women entering the military. I found this really dire need for more resources for women in that in-between phase, because I was in that phase for so long before I had shipped to basic that I just needed a little bit more guidance from other females. And also at basic training, I just felt like, you know, sometimes the resources were a little bit slim for feminine products. And so the Warrior Women Project really stands behind supporting women at basic combat training and also when they head back to their units.
How's that been going for you?
It's been incredible. I really feel that all the opportunities that I've had, the opportunity of even, you know, stepping into, I've been pulling up a chair for other women at the table, just like the other women have done for, you know, other women who are paving that path as well. And going out, my mission is really to kind of change that narrative. And so, for example, this week being here at the Capitol, singing the national anthem in my dress uniform for the House, and then in the same day coming back as Miss Wyoming singing. And so it's that idea of confidently stepping out into both pursuits of your heart.
You'd mentioned to me off camera that adoption is an issue that's important to you as well. How and why?
Yeah, so adoption is a huge piece of my story. I was adopted at a young age at birth by two incredibly loving parents who were not able to have kids. And so I've threaded that story throughout my entire timeline. It was really part of my platform the first time I was Miss Wyoming. And now more than ever, that adoption and identity story has allowed me to now advocate for women who aren't quite sure where they are called to. And so really ultimately my goal in everything that I'm doing is to pursue women to pursue the callings of their hearts all through it all.
Sergeant Rebecca Bridger, Miss Wyoming Beck Bridger, the same person sitting right here.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed talking to you. It took a while for us to get this together. I'm glad that we did. Best of luck to you, and thanks for being with us on Wyoming Chronicle.